on April 15, this April 15, you're all aware that two bombs went off at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Three people were killed. 264 people were injured in those bombs. The suspects in the Boston Marathon massacre are two brothers, Tamerlan and Sotkar Tsarnaev. The older brother, you're aware, Tamerlan, was killed in a shootout with the police several days after the bombing. But Sotkar is now in custody, awaiting trial. According to several reports, there were a number of warning signs that should have set off some flashing lights, tipping off authorities of the potential threat of terrorism that was posed by these two brothers. Some of the warning signs include these. Number one, there was a 2009 domestic abuse complaint against the older brother, Tamerlan, and a possible connection with a triple murder. Two, the fact that the Russian security services flagged Tamerlan 2 years ago after he attended services at a radical mosque in Dagestan. The same mosque has seen a number of terrorists pass through it, including the terrorists that were involved in a bombing in 2002 that killed 44 people. Three, in 2011, the Russian government contacted our FBI and told them that Tamerlan, quote, was a follower of radical Islam. According to the New York Times report, this warning was followed up by a, and again, quote, limited investigation. Four, this past January, Tamerlan, in an outburst of radical Islamic fervor, caused multiple disturbances in a Cambridge mosque. He stood up in the middle of one service and accused the mosque leaders of being unbelievers and hypocrites. Five, Tamerlan traveled last year, 2012, to Russia. But this trip didn't seem to raise much concern. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano stated that the government's internal system pinged when Tamerlan left the U.S. for Russia last year. But nothing was done because Tsarnaev, Tamerlan, was not on one of the government's watch lists. Warning signs. In an article entitled "Senators Raise Concerns About the Government's Response to the Boston Bombing," the author writes, "Lawmakers are raising concerns that warning signs were missed and that authorities could have coordinated their efforts better." Folks, today, when there are warning signs and they are missed, or they are overlooked, or they are ignored, it can lead to disastrous results and death. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. If warnings are overlooked or unheeded in the spiritual realm, it can lead to disastrous results. Disastrous results. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Would you open them up to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 7. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the last portion of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember the greatest sermon preached by the greatest preacher. And you remember that Jesus, in preaching this sermon, is sharing with his followers principles about kingdom living. And this morning, we reach verse 15, and we're going to read down through verse 29. Listen as I read these verses. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In these last words of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives some warnings. In fact, he gives three warnings here that I want to share with you this morning. And these warnings are essentially important to us today. We need to heed these three warnings. I think especially in the day in which we live. The first warning has to do with the warning concerning false prophets. Verses 15 through 20. Verse 15 begins with the words, beware of false prophets. Now, folks, false prophets have been around for a long, long time. In the Old Testament, Moses, even in the first five books of the Bible, gives warning about false prophets. Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 specifically deal with false prophets. They've been around a long time. They were prevalent in Jesus' time. That's why Jesus tells his followers, beware of false prophets. If you do a study of church history, there's false prophets that dot the whole church age. You have people that were false prophets. But I think this admonition, this warning, has specific relevance to us here in the 21st century. Because if you read in your Bible, one of the greatest marks or one of the greatest signs that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the rise of false prophets. In Matthew 24, Jesus three times says, listen, here's one of the most prominent sign. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. That is going to be specifically relevant in the days preceding the coming of Christ. And I think we are, again, I don't know how close we are. Could be very close. Christ could come at any time. And many people are sensing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imminent. And before he comes, there's going to be many false prophets. So what he says here is very, very relevant to us today. He, first of all, he gives a description of false prophets in verse 15. And here's what he says. First of all, they are diligent. False prophets are diligent. Note he begins, beware of false prophets who come to you. You never have to go looking for false prophets. They'll find you. They'll come to you. If you look at all the passages in the New Testament that deal with false prophets and false teachers, you know what it says? They come to you. They come to you. Paul in Acts chapter 20 talks to the Ephesian elders and he warns them. And he says these words, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They'll find you out. He's talking to false prophets there. Again, in Matthew 24, we read, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. They'll come to you. 2 John, verse 10, states, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. False prophets are diligent. They're determined. They are dedicated to spread their lies and spread their false doctrine. They are zealous. They are zealous. They'll come to you. I could ask this question, and I will. How many of you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, or some other cult member come to your house? Would you raise your hand? Look at how many people. They're zealous. They'll come to you. You don't ever have to look for them. They will come to you. There are many that'll come right to your door. In fact, there are many that will just come right into your living room on the television set. And sometimes we let false prophets come right in, turn that television set on, and there's people that are preaching every day on the TV set false doctrine, things that don't square with the Word of God. They're diligent. They're diligent. There's tons of false doctrine being propagated. And they'll come to us. They're diligent, dedicated, determined. Secondly, they're deceptive. They're deceptive. Jesus said, who come to you in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. In the Old Testament, the garb of the prophet included a cloak made out of sheepskin. In 2 Kings 1:8, the prophet Elijah wore a mantle that was a hairy cloak made out of sheepskin. The sheepskin cloak became the uniform, the distinguishing mark of a prophet. And what Jesus is saying here is not everyone who has a sheepskin on is a true prophet. Not everyone who looks outwardly like a prophet is a true prophet. False prophets are deceptive. A false prophet is a man who comes to you and at first he has an appearance of being everything that you could desire. He is nice, or she is nice, pleasing, pleasant. They appear to be interested in you. They appear thoroughly Christian. Thoroughly Christian. And yet they're false prophets. A false prophet will quote the Bible. Many false prophets have many more verses memorized than any of us do. They'll quote from Scripture. They'll carry a big King James Bible. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, the Apostle Paul speaks of false apostles and false teachers. And he says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light Therefore, it shouldn't be surprising that his workers disguise themselves as workers of righteousness, but their ends will be according to their deeds. They disguise themselves. They come to you. They look good, but not everyone who gets behind a pulpit and uses the Bible is maybe a great orator or has a great fast following is even necessarily a Christian. They can be a false prophet. They're deceptive. They look good. They look harmless. But here's another description. They're dangerous. They're dangerous. They have sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They're dangerous. Now, folks, wolves were very prominent in Palestine, even when Jesus wrote this. We have some documents that document a wolf attack, a pack of wolves attacked one herd of sheep and killed over 300 sheep. We have a document that described that. There's a historic document that describes the mourning that took place in a city in Palestine when wolves came and dragged two children off and ate them. I mean, wolves were dangerous creatures, and a ravenous wolf is very dangerous. But you know what? Actually, false prophets are even more dangerous than ravenous wolves. Because a ravenous wolf can kill your body. A false prophet can lead people into lies and deception and all the way to hell. So Jesus said, beware. Beware. They are diligent. They are deceptive and they're very dangerous. And I'll tell you what, we need to beware today. Beware of false prophets. And then he goes, how do you detect them? The detection of false prophets. Verses 16 through 20, Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. In fact, he says that in verse 16, and they're like bookends. Verse 16 and verse 20, you'll know them by their fruits. You see what he says here? He says, listen, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, it's the only thing it's good for. If it's not producing fruit, it's good for throwing in the fire. You're going to know them by their fruits. How do you detect them? By their fruits. What kind of fruit? You'll know them by the fruit of their mouth. In the book of Proverbs, it says from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. The fruit of the mouth. You'll know them by what they say, by what they speak, the fruit of the mouth. You've got to know them by, you've got to listen to people carefully. In fact, it's even good to ask questions. You've got to be careful with false prophets because sometimes they use the same terminology, but they infuse it with different meaning. So when you ask them questions. Ask them, who is Jesus Christ? You know what most false prophets will say? He's the Son of God. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. But they don't mean what the Bible means when the Bible says that. So you ask them when they say, oh, he's the Son of God. Is he God come in the flesh? Ask them that question. Ask them, how is a person saved? You know, I asked a group of Mormons that. How does a person get saved? You know what they told me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that sounds pretty good. And you know what I asked them next? And what you need to ask? Is that all? You know what they said? Oh, no. You got to join the Mormon church. You got to be baptized in a Mormon temple. You have to receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on the hands of the Mormon apostles. And you have to keep the whole law. I said, the whole law?
Yep.
I thought, man, oh man. Boy, am I glad I'm not part of your cult. But you ask them questions and listen to the fruit of their mouths. Ask them, do you believe in heaven and hell? Ask them that today, because most people will say, oh, I believe in heaven. But nah, that hell thing. Ask them questions. Listen. And don't just take, because again, they use same terminology sometimes that we use, but they infuse it with different meaning. So be discerning. Listen to the fruit of their mouth. Then watch the fruit of their character. Their character. That's important. Folks, the words may be deceiving, but character in time always reveals itself. A false prophet may be able for a little while to deceive people, but eventually his character will surface. It was John Calvin that said, nothing is more difficult than to counterfeit virtue. And the great Bible teacher, Harry Ironside, echoing that sentiment, said, whatever the professions men make, it is the life that tells. Good men delight in purity and righteousness. Evil men grovel in that which is sinful and corrupt. Where grace operates in the soul, the good fruit of the Spirit will manifest in the life. So listen to the fruit of their mouth. Look at the fruit of their life, their character. And then examine the fruit of their ministry. The fruit of their ministry. And ask this question. Is this person leading others to faith in Jesus Christ? Not is this person getting followers. Not is this person getting others to join his group. But is this person introducing people to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he preaching or is she preaching the narrow gate, the straight gate, and the narrow way? Are they preaching the gospel of Christ? That's really important. Because if they're preaching anything else than the pure gospel that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven. Let him be what?
Accursed.
Let him be anathema, Paul says. You'll know them by their fruits. What is their theology? What are they saying? What does their life say? What does their character say? What is their ministry producing? I'll tell you what, folks, today it is so important for us to know the Word of God. If there's ever been a day where you need and I need to be in our Bible every day, if there was ever a time when we needed to be Berean Christians, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether what's being said is so, it is today. And just listening to a sermon's not enough. You need to be in your Bible. You need to be reading the Bible every day so that when a false prophet comes along, or a prophetess comes along, that you reckon, no, Mom, that doesn't square with the truth. Beware, Jesus says, of false prophets. There's a second warning, and that's the warning concerning false professions. Verses 21 through 23. Folks, this picture's a very solemn event. In these verses, we have people standing before the Jesus Christ at the judgment. And these people that are standing before him are confident that they're going to go to heaven. They cry out, Lord, Lord! And they're not getting in. I mean, this is a solemn event. One author calls this a dreadful warning. A dreadful warning. Jesus is the judge. And he sees right through these people's profession. And this is brought out with two contrasts in the text. First of all, there's a contrast between saying and doing, professing and practicing. They say the right words, Lord, Lord. They call Jesus Lord. But their lives don't back up their lips. They talk the right talk, but they don't walk the right walk. Their walk contradicts their words. They say, Lord, Lord, but they do not do the will of the Father. This is a sharp contrast between a mere talker and the doer of God's will. Leon Morris states, they say, Lord, Lord, but their claim will be of no avail. Jesus says, unless their lives back it up. It is doing the will of the Father that matters, not the words we profess. And then he goes on, and this is important. This is not salvation by works. The contrast is not between merit and grace, but between profession and the way of life. Now, I think it's important for us to ask a question. Every one of us need to ask this question. Did my decision for Jesus Christ change my life? Did my decision for Christ change my life? Does my walk back up my talk? If not, you know what we need to do? And I say this with my whole heart. If not, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Because when a person comes to Jesus Christ, we're a new creature in Christ. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That doesn't mean we're even close to being perfect. But when we make a decision for Christ, it's got to change your life. And if it doesn't, you need to go back and take and examine that. Lest any of us go before the Lord thinking, man, I'm getting in. Lord, Lord. And we don't get in. The first contrast is between saying and doing. The second contrast, look down there. The second contrast is between doing and knowing. Between practicing and possessing. Look at this. Many, it says, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Yeah, you did. And so did Balaam in the Old Testament. And he was lost. But Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Oh, yeah, you did. But so did the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19. You remember them? They were going around casting out demons in the name of Jesus. They went up to one demon-possessed man and said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, that you come out. And the demon-possessed, the demon in the man said, I know Jesus. And I know this Paul, but who in the world are you? And that demon-possessed man jumped on and abused them. And they went out, they escaped with their lives. But I'll tell you what, seven sons of Sceva cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, they were lost. But Lord, didn't we do many miracles in your name? There are a lot of people who do miracles. I mean, Janus and Jambres, you remember Pharaoh's stooges. Magicians. They did miracles. And I'll tell you what, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to do many lying wonders, many miracles. And he's certainly not saved. You see what he's saying here? Words are no substitute for obedience, and religious works, listen, are no substitute for relationship. no substitute for knowing Christ. And he says, there will be many people there on that day saying, didn't I preach sermons for you, Jesus? Didn't I teach Sunday school? Didn't I sing in the choir? Didn't I serve on the deacon board? Wasn't I an elder for 20 years in the church? And Jesus will look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My, oh my, oh my, that's a dreadful, dreadful warning. That's a dreadful warning. Now, I'll tell you, I think this is an answer, by the way, to some people. Some people see somebody that maybe is a pastor, or maybe is a servant in the church, a worker, an elder, or something in the church, and then all of a sudden, they deny Jesus Christ, and they go out, and they say, I don't even believe in God anymore, and they say, see, he was saved, and now he lost his salvation. Did you ever talk to anybody like that? People say, oh yeah, he was saved. I know, because I served on the elder board with him. He was saved. He professed Christ. He did all that stuff. And now he doesn't have any belief. He lost his salvation. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you would see these people in their lives, performing miracles, casting out demons, preaching, you'd say, what a fine Christian. See, problem is, we can't see a heart, can we? What a fine Christian man. What a fine Christian woman. And Jesus looks right through it and says, you know what? Not I knew you and you lost it. He says what? I never knew you. Never. You had all the right outward look. You look good on the outside. You did all the religious stuff. I'll tell you, religion won't save you. It's relationship that saves you. It's knowing Christ. And this is a warning here against false profession. But Jesus, I prayed the prayer. Praying a prayer doesn't necessarily save you. I walked the aisle. I came. I knelt down at the altar there. Jesus, don't you remember that? It doesn't necessarily save you. You are saved by grace through faith. It is putting your trust in Christ, right? It's believing that he died for our sins on the cross. That God raised him up from the dead. And it's putting my full trust in his finished work on Calvary. When I do that, Jesus came into my life. And you know what? My life was changed. I am far from perfect. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Don't even come close. But I'll tell you what, I met the Lord and he changed my life. And we have to ask ourselves. And I ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you know him? Because that's what is essential, to know him in personal relationship. If we do, we're going to get in. If it's just a false profession, depart from me. I never knew you. The warning of false prophets, the warning of false professions, and then thirdly, and this is a warning, the warning of false foundations. The warning of false foundations. Jesus, in verses 26 and 27, says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. First of all, there's a firm foundation in verses 24 and 25. When you hear God's word preached, or you read God's word and you apply it to your life, you act on it, you obey it, you're like a wise man who digs deep and puts a foundation down on the rock. Your life will have strong foundation. Your life will have stability. It's based on the Word of God. And Jesus says, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, slammed against the house. And yet it didn't fall, because it was founded on the rock. Now let me just say this, and I think every one of us who's lived any length of time knows the rains will come. The floods will come. I tell you, the wind of adversity comes to every life. Every life. So to be able to get through those storms, we've got to have a firm foundation. So when you hear the word of God preached, you always, and I always have to say, how does this apply to me? How is my life, how should my life be different because of what I heard today? How can I apply this to my life? If you do that, you're wise. And when the tests of time come, and every one of you going through them, some of you are going through them right now. It's tough. It's not easy. But you've got a firm foundation because you've built your life on applying God's word and practicing God's word. That's a firm foundation. But there's also a false foundation. Everyone who hears the words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Here again, you and I, we can hear 10,000 sermons. You can listen on your radio, WCRF. We all listen to WCRF, right? Where's Paul? Is he here? He's out there? Okay. Well, since Paul's not here, you can listen to that, you know, the fish or something else. But you can listen to them all day long. He's coming back? You can listen all day long to sermons and think, you know what? I'm spiritual. It's deceptive because I've got all this stuff. I've listened to all these sermons. But you know what? If we don't apply what we hear, we're not spiritual. It doesn't help us, does it? Because when the rain comes, and when the floods come, and when the wind comes and slams. You ever get slammed? When the wind comes and the waves and all comes and slams against the house. The house on the sand, you remember the little song? Went splat. And I'll tell you, it comes down. It's a false foundation. We think we have a solid foundation. I go to church every week. I hear it. I do this, and I listen to WCRF. But if we're not applying it, we're foolish. Jesus says, the first word there is therefore. In verse 24, therefore. And when you see a therefore in Scripture, you always look to see what it's there for, right? And that's right. And that, therefore, I believe, goes back all the way through his sermon. Starts in the beginning of chapter 5, and here's the end in chapter 7. Therefore, from listening to the sermons and studying the Sermon on the Mount, is your life any different? Are you reading the Scripture maybe a little bit more? Because Christ puts a high view on Scripture. Are you praying more? Because it says ask, seek, knock. Are you praying more? Are you maybe giving the right way or fasting the right way or praying the right way as he taught us in this sermon? Are you judging others less? Are you taking the log out of your own eye before you're trying to get the speck out of your wife's, I mean, your somebody else's eye? Are you applying it? If you are, you're wise. You're wise. If you're not, you're deceiving yourself. You're a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, deceiving yourself. Jesus gives us three warnings here. The warning against false prophets. Study your word. Study the Bible. Be a Berean. The warning against false professions. Let me just say this to you. If you have any doubt in your mind about your salvation, make sure of your calling. You can come forward if you would like and pray and just say, Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm not trusting in anything I've done. I'm trusting in your cross and in the empty tomb. The warning against false foundations. I'll tell you what, whenever you read the word, apply it. Whenever you hear the word, apply it to your life. You'll be a wise man or a wise woman. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just bow before you and thank you, God, that you love us enough to warn us. And at the end of your sermon, Jesus, you gave us these three warnings. And I really pray, Lord, we would take this to heart today and that our lives would be changed, that we'd be vigilant to beware and to watch and not be deceived by false prophets. I pray here today, Lord, that everyone would have the assurance of salvation. That if we have Christ, if we're trusting in him alone, that we'd have that assurance that when we close our eyes in death and we stand before you, we'll hear those words, enter in, my servant. And I pray that we would all, as we hear your word and study your word, that we wouldn't be just hearing the word and deceiving ourselves, but we would do, with the help of your Holy Spirit, we would do what we read, do what we hear, so that we would have a firm foundation in life. Help us, God, to do this. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.